You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of Scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to assure us that we are saints. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is St. Patrick's Day. A lot of you seem to have gotten that memo. Some of you did not, as I'm looking around the room. And so that means that you are either, you know, sort of like forgetful or oblivious. We'll kind of allow that. You know, it's the end of spring break. It's kind of hard to tell what dates are anymore. But it could mean on top of that, that you're kind of making a statement. Maybe today you're wearing orange because you're a Protestant and you know that there's something to that, you know, only dirty Catholics wear green. The real hardcore Lutheran Protestants, they wear orange. However, you know, Lutherans are kind of in that weird kind of, you know, liminal moment between Catholicism and kind of rank Protestantism. So, you know, it's kind of somewhere in between. So I'm wearing a green sock and an orange sock just to kind of, like, you know, make that happen. And it's this day, you know, if you go into College Town later on today, you'll see all sorts of debauchery that is happening in order to, you know, celebrate this patron missionary of Ireland and how he chased all of the snakes out of that country and did all sorts of other things that probably didn't really happen. And it brings up this kind of question for us. Yeah, you know, who was this St. Patrick guy? And a lot of us, you know, even though we celebrate this day, a lot of us, we kind of need a little bit of reminder about who St. Patrick was. And so St. Patrick's story starts off in England. So much to the surprise of many people, including some Irish people, St. Patrick was not Irish. St. Patrick was English. And he was English. He was minding his own business. Living in his family's house, when Irish raiders, kind of like Irish pirates, came in and they attacked his town, and they took young Patrick as a slave and brought him back to Ireland. And so they had him kind of raised up as a slave in somebody's house, and he was kind of doing chores and menial work for them, and all the while he was kind of getting to know a little bit more about Christianity. And one day he was able to escape, and he was able to get back to England. And so he kind of rows his boat back over to England. He starts to want to become a priest. He feels like there's this calling on his life, where he goes and he goes to the seminary, he learns to become a priest. And when he becomes a priest, he feels this real call to go and to be a missionary to the people that were in Ireland. These kind of rank heretics and people that didn't know who Christ was. And so Patrick takes it upon himself to become a missionary to Ireland, never mind the historical reality that there were already Christians in Ireland. That's kind of difficult. But anyway, he goes and he does go in order to spread the gospel there. And as he goes and he spreads the gospel, he does figure out a way to communicate with the Irish people according to their own kind of language and their own customs, because he knew those things from growing up there having been a slave. And so he was able to do something like come up with the Celtic cross, which is a cross with a circle. If you ever see that, a lot of times you'll see that in terms of Irish things. And the whole understanding there is that the Irish people saw the sun as being a great sort of a sign and a sign of strength. And so Patrick said, well, let's combine the sign of strength that is the cross with the sign of the sun, and we'll put those two things together, and it's the Celtic cross. And he used that in order to explain to people, okay, well, this is who Jesus is. He's, you know, not only a weakling who is crucified on a cross, but in his weakness, he is as strong as the sun itself. And so he does many other things like that, and he goes about making the country of Ireland much more Christian than what it had been before. And so as you hear all of that, you're like, wow, this Patrick guy, he really is great, even if he didn't actually take the snakes and kick them out of Ireland. You know, even though he probably never had green beer, he still sounds like he's a pretty great guy. And so it might surprise you to learn that St. Patrick isn't a saint. Oh, yeah. Bummer, right? The reason for that is that the Roman Catholic Church has certain boxes that they need to check off in order to make you a saint. It's called the process of canonization. And the process of canonization requires a few different things. One of those being that you have to have at least two different miracles, one when you're living, one when you're dead. And so one of those miracles has to be something that you do that people see when you're alive and they go, oh, well, that was Patrick. You know, Patrick did some pretty cool stuff. He chased the snakes out of Ireland, maybe, which weren't there to begin with. Maybe that's what it is. But then you also need to have a miracle that you have done while you were up in heaven, that you were kind of looking down on the people. This is a little bit dated, but if you remember the family circus and how the grandparents used to look down at the kids through that telescope, sort of that sense that, you know, Patrick is looking down and he's like, well, like, give them frosted Lucky Charms. There was none of that. None of that happened. And it was impossible for the Vatican to actually say, yep, check, he's done that, check, he's done that. And for that reason, St. Patrick has never been canonized. He's not actually a saint, at least in that kind of a sense. He's not a saint in the sense of being having gone through that vetting process that was established by the Roman Catholic Church. But even though the Roman Catholic Church does not want St. Patrick, as Lutherans, we can say, we'll take him. Because in terms of understanding what a saint is, Lutherans have kind of a different parameter. So for Lutherans, understanding what a saint is just simply understanding who God is and what God has done for you. And so what we recognize is that a saint is somebody for whom Jesus has died. A saint is somebody who Jesus has died for, and since Jesus has died for you, you have now been freed from sin. Your account is separated from sin. And because your account is separated from sin, now you are living in his kingdom of peace and joy. And right now, you're still living in this sort of sense of living in this time where you're living in a sinful world. And as you're living in a sinful world, you're having to deal with your own sins and the sins of other people and the sins of everything around you. And as you're dealing with that, this isn't kind of that full experience of being a saint yet. And yet, you are a saint. You're just, at the same time, you're a sinner. You're kind of those two things stacked on top of each other. Which brings us back to St. Patrick's Day. So if any of you are wondering, so why March 17th? Why is that always St. Patrick's Day? Well, the reason is that the saint days of people that are declared saints, if you follow their saint day, it's always the day on which they are born. No, it's the day on which they die. And so it's not St. Patrick's birthday today, it's St. Patrick's death day. And the reason that you celebrate a saint day on the day of their death is because it's on that day that they cease to be sinners. And so if you take away the sins and you've already been made a saint, what's left is that you are now a saint. And that's something that all of us can look forward to. And that's kind of where all of these readings today in the lectionary are pointing us. So we start off with this reading from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is talking about this great day when everybody will be made a saint because there's this new covenant. Because the old covenant has gone away. The old covenant was all about the things that you did or the things that you didn't do and the sacrifices that you did in order to make up for the things that you didn't do. And God is saying to Jeremiah, there will come a day when that is all erased. Where you will no longer be a saint based on what you do or what you sacrifice, but rather you will be a saint based on the fact that you know who I am. And knowing who I am, my law will be written on your heart. You will begin to live out your experience of being a saint in your life simply through your connection with me. Additionally, in Psalm 119, the longest psalm that we have, in this second part of that psalm, there's this second part of this kind of love song to the law, which sounds so weird to us because we are sinners and we're kind of like, ugh, the law convicts me of my sin. I don't want the law. But here, God is pointing out that that law is actually good and that law can keep your way pure. That law is something that will be yours in its entirety when you are declared completely a saint in the resurrection. And that law is even good now as it works through you and begins to show that you are a part of God's kingdom. And it continues on in that reading from Hebrews, the reading from Hebrews. It seems to come kind of out of nowhere and talks about a whole kind of a whole bunch of weird stuff, like who's this guy named Melchizedek? And in that, there's this notice that here, you are now a part of a new order. You're a part of a new order of priests. You're a part of a new order of saints. You're not a part of the order of saints that needs to check off certain boxes, but rather because of your connection with God, you are now brought into a royal priesthood, a new priesthood in which Christ is our high priest and we are all his saints. But we're also sinners. And that's a little bit of what the gospel lesson is all about. You know, you've got these guys that have this great connection with Jesus. They have had a connection with the person that you would think would make everybody a saint. You would think everybody would be able to get their theology right, that they would be able to get their lives right, that they would be able to get everything right. But just hanging around with Jesus for a few months at least, and here you've got James and John, these two morons, who come up to Jesus right after he said, hey, God, by the way, guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem so that they can spit on me, so that they can kill me, so that they can do all sorts of terrible things to me. And what is their response? Their response is, hey, Jesus, ha, what about where we sit in heaven? And Jesus, I'm sure, is exasperated with them and asks them this question. Well, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that with which I am baptized? And they go, yeah. And Jesus then promises them the thing that if they knew what he was promising them, they would say, well, actually, Jesus, no. We're okay with having the cheap seats now because we don't want the cup that you've been that you're going to drink. We don't want the baptism through which you have been baptized. But he gives that to us as well. He gives to us a suffering. He gives to us an existence in these mortal bodies. He gives us an ability to live out being saints in a sinful world, just as he lived out being a perfect and sinless God in that same world. But he promises us that since we are drinking that same cup, since we are going through that same baptism through which he was baptized, that we too will be raised again like he was. That we will be given new bodies. That we will be given a new experience. That we will be given a resurrection in which we are no longer sinner saints, but we are just saints. And when we are there, I fully expect us to see a guy named Patrick. And maybe a few other people as well, whose lives maybe didn't total up to being enough in the eyes of other people, but whose lives were made holy by one man who was crucified for our sins to make us saints. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.